Indie Media is DIY news. It is about people reporting their own news directly without the need for reporters, bypassing the corporate media.
There are 100 Indie Media or IMC websites worldwide providing grassroots reports of struggles, campaigns and protests.
There are so many people here who are saying no to the government today, and this is democracy in action.
Everybody's here. Everybody in the country seems to be here. They're just coming from all over the place. The banners are showing all the tiny, tiny little pockets of the country. Everybody has come down here.
The project started 3 years ago covering the massive Seattle protests which shut down the World Trade Organization's summit.
Uncensored and unsponsored, IMC sites can be updated anywhere, anytime, by anyone.
The open-to-all nature of these sites means that you can publish your own reports about your own issues and at the same time connect to a global network of grassroots news. What you are about to hear are some highlights from these global websites and from our very own UK IMC Wire. For more information or to get the news direct from the streets, check out www.indiemedia.org.uk.
Waking outside my window. Hi! Hello. Welcome back!
Here. It's Wednesday the 1st of October, and news just in, September was the sunniest since records began, and also one of the driest, with only 33 millimetres of rain falling. And with the Indian summer seeming to end, the statistics say that it was the warmest January to September period since records began. And in line with that, later we'll be bringing you some stories from South Africa Indie Media about the struggles going on around water privatisation. And of course, in the show, we'll be bringing you highlights from the Indie Media newswires around the world, which are posted to by people like you reporting their own news.
On www.indiemedia.org.uk.
There may be trouble ahead, but while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Before the fiddlers have fled, before they ask us to pay the bill, and while we still have the chance, let's face the music and dance. Soon we'll be without the moon, humming a different tune, and then there may be teardrops to shed. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Let's face the music and dance. The moon humming a different tune, and then there may be teardrops to shed. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Let's face the music and dance.
Of course, Nat King Cole, and you're listening to Resonance FM on 104.4. And now some news from South Africa concerning water rights and water privatisation.
Once upon a time, South African President Thabo Mbeki made an international speech attacking capitalist globalisation as, quote, the new global apartheid, close quotes. However, today Johannesburg's privatised water services are a striking example of what could be called economic apartheid. Johannesburg Water, JW, was privatised in 2001, and it fell into the hands of the French multinational Suez Lyonnais. Suez's track record around the world is, to say the least, questionable. They have drastically increased water charges in every town where they have a contract. In Paris, France, where Suez controls the water, auditors have attacked them for a, quote, an absence of financial transparency, close quotes, while in Grenoble the company was found guilty of bribery. In Johannesburg, water rates have risen, and when the poor are unable to pay, they have their water cut off. Dry of water but not of energy, quote, the poors, have risen up, angered by what they see as the ruling ANC's broken promises of water, electricity, health and education for all, and have given birth to the Anti-Privatisation Forum, the Coalition Against Water Privatisation, and a determined community movement. The poors of Soweto have rejected Johannesburg Water's claims that it consulted local residents about the prepaid meters and have laughed off the company's claims that the expensive meters will help the poors to own their water consumption. You cannot just come into our area and change our water system without consulting us. This is a top-down way of running government, said one Soweto water warrior. In a country where 60% of the population live in poverty, many poors will be unable to pay for clean water and will have to resort to using unsafe water resources. Many fear a repeat of what happened 2 years ago in KwaZulu-Natal on the east coast of the country, where more than 200 people died of cholera after having been forced to drink water from polluted streams because of the local water board's unaffordable water rates.
The local council has now brought in the police and private security guards to crack down on community opposition. 8 community members were arrested on charges of malicious damage to property for resisting the installation of the water meters. They were held for 2 weeks, refused bail, as they were, quote, a threat to public security, and have finally been let out under apartheid-era bail conditions that include a ban on any interference with water meters and a ban on attending any meeting dealing with resistance to the installation of water meters. This court ban has now been extended to all community members resisting water privatisation in Soweto and the Anti-Privatisation Forum itself. Despite the combined corporate and council repression, the resistance hasn't dried up. Recently, an anti-privatisation march, banned by the police, attracted over 1,000 people and raised awareness about the privatisation grab of South Africa's public services. Also recently, the Coalition Against Water Privatisation has flourished, mobilising support for the struggles in Soweto and taking the ban back to court. One of them said, a militant opposition has invented itself in other places in the world, but in South Africa it has happened very quickly. The miracle here is just how quickly the ANC has donned the cape of the IMF and unsheathed the sword of structural adjustment. And that was from community activist Ashwan Desai. The community movement is growing throughout the country as the poors in the ghettos mobilise against water and electricity cut-offs, evictions and the like. Schnooze, the Direct Action weekly news sheet, says communities are taking direct action to protect their basic human rights, and in doing so, they are discovering a new sense of power. This power is bursting not from the traditional workplaces, but from the communities. One example is the Volumanzi Boys, which translate as the Water Opening Boys, a youth group who teach others how to reconnect their water supplies after they've been disconnected. As the activist Desai puts it, people are ready for activism, delivering free basic services by reconnecting water and electricity. Building structures and sharing resources, we really are creating liberated zones. For more information on this story, you can check out the South African Indie Media site at www.southafrica.indymedia.org.
Black, they all look so lonely. Contraceptives don't get you by the horn, and you can't find the key to the door in your building. But are you still willing? The responsibility becomes an afterthought when one remembers the things that they should have bought. There's no pretending that you forgot.
Most everything in life have political ramifications. Even taking kids on vacation or having a simple operation. But my friend Billy told me that sometimes it takes a grown man a long time to learn just what it takes a child a night to learn. My son proved his worth, bought a pistol man, full of ammunition, squirting out fires on a worldwide mission. But did you ever think to stop and put the flowers in your own backyard? Bought a pistol man, full of ammunition, squirting out fires on a worldwide mission. But did you ever think to stop and put the flowers in your own backyard? Piles, I never said excuse me. Were the simplest things that always confused me. I never stopped, I never looked both ways. Must it always a tug of love between friends and work? Hope to learn the meaning of the word jerk before it happens to a rope round the neck. Let's build a bigger telescope so that we can see things more up close, farther away from where we really are. I was up the whole night before, reading books about places I probably never go. And those aren't good things to know about. When I feel with my heart, I know in my mind I should say with my lips, but don't. Does that make you feel upset? I should know that. The power of one man seems like a small squirt when he aims at the flames of the whole earth. But the fire starts at home. Water pistol man, full of ammunition, squirting out fires on a worldwide mission. But did you ever think to stop and squirt the flowers in your own backyard? Water pistol man, full of ammunition, squirting out fires on a worldwide mission. Did you ever think to stop and squirt the flowers in your own backyard? Water pistol man, full of ammunition, squirting out fires on a worldwide mission. Did you ever think to stop and squirt the flowers in your own backyard? Water pistol man, full of ammunition, squirting out fires on a worldwide mission. Did you ever think to stop and squirt the flowers in your own backyard?
And that last tune was the Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy with Water Pistol Man. And coming up next, there's a Newswire report from the anti-war demo last weekend.
Yes, last Saturday, the 27th of September, of course, saw the latest mass national protest over Iraq, entitled End the Occupation. It was organised by Stop the War Coalition, the Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament, and the Muslim Association of Britain. As ever, there was controversy over the numbers of people attending, with police putting the figure between 10 and 20,000, although this figure was meant to be the about 100,000. And speeches were made by Ken Loach, Ken Livingstone, suspended Labour MP George Galloway, Dima Tabub, wife of Al Jazeera journalist Tariq Ajoub, who was killed in Iraq. The speakers also included a union rep who also talked against Blair's form of government. There were two school children who spoke. One was 11 years old and spoke to a very loud applause as she said, "We are your future, and masters, ignore us at your peril." The mood was sometimes angry, but everyone seemed totally aware of why they were there. Worldwide, hundreds of thousands of people marched in 45 countries. 25,000 people marched in Barcelona, Spain. Tens of thousands in Athens, Greece, Istanbul, Turkey, Madrid, Spain, and other cities around the world, from Pakistan to Poland, Australia to Austria to America. In Edinburgh, a banner drop and a rally took place, while up to 1,500 protesters marched through Dublin. Crowds gathered in Parnell Square, which is named after the Irish revolutionary Charles Stuart Parnell, and made their way across the River Liffey and up to the government buildings. A retired army commandant returned military medals awarded to him by the Defence Forces and the United Nations in protest as what he described as Ireland's role in the Iraqi war. For more information on all these reports, see www.internationalanswer.org. Answer is big letters, A-N-S-E-W-E-R in big capital letters. And www.stopwar.org.uk. I just have to add, it was an amazing day out. It was very full of hope. And it wasn't just the Iraqi thing we were focusing on. We were focusing on Palestine and it was just very hopeful to see so many people still gathering and coming together against these occupations.
Meanwhile, it's been confirmed by Buckingham Palace that George W. Bush will be in Britain on the 19th, 20th and 21st of November for a state visit. The Stop the War Coalition has announced it will be organising demonstrations and a number of other events and stunts on every day of this visit, and is organising a letter-writing campaign demanding that the British government retract the invitation immediately.
When you're 10 years old and you had to mourn about as many people as you know have been born, cause they'd be shot down, or when your people are chopped down, dust in the space where your houses were knocked down, you're locked down, still curfew days, the rain's made of metal when the patches blaze, light out the sky, turn the warm nights cold, you know 10 people murdered and you're 10 years old, and it's so real, you come face to face with the smell of the death that the missiles trace, and there's one less stone in one less hand, and one less boy to become a man, yo it's no jokes, we watched the world bleed, you're thinking you're rebelling cause you're smoking weed, there are kids in the world that are 10 years old, and all they want to do when they grow up is explode.
Missiles for cash plus a testing ground, see what happens when the bombs come down. Missiles for cash plus a testing ground, see what happens when the bombs come down.
Everybody knows this is a fake war. Will you lie to Bush? Will you lie to Blair? Blood for money, blood for oil.
Education, the world around, and for a paid work, we all get down, this and that. But now kids pulling out splat. Watch that, yo, watch that attack. The thought in mind, how we march into war completely blind, hate packed up and sealed, guns strapped round the waist and ready to kill, little bad boy in search of thrills, be it politics or piling chips, business making our kids sick, take their land and give them zip, no love, yo, no friendship, no life, just lots of pain, then death, and another man's gain, hate sent out on the factory train.
Missiles for cash plus a testing ground, see what happens when the bombs come down, missiles for cash plus a testing ground, see what happens when the bombs come down.
Whose war is this? Yo, who's the terrorist? Whose war is this? Yo, who's the terrorist?
Missiles for cash plus a testing ground, see what happens when the bombs come down.
And that was the GM Babies with the tune Pain of Life. Next up, a couple of snippets continuing with the anti-war theme as such. On Tuesday, the 23rd of September, more than 80 people joined an anti-war protest to oppose a conference in Malvern examining latest developments in battlefield communications technology. Members of Worcester for Peace Group, formerly Worcester Stop the War Coalition, armed with placards, horns and megaphones, demonstrated outside the conference, which was looking at command, control, communication, combat information, surveillance targeting, acquisition and reconnaissance systems. Meanwhile, in Cardiff, activists dressed as delegates blagged their way recently into another arms fair and managed to wander around for 3 hours gathering valuable information on which companies were exhibiting and just what they were selling. Other demonstrators outside also blockaded a coach full of delegates leaving to inspect a nearby RAF base.
This week sees the start of the Keep Space for Peace Week and an international week of protests against the militarisation of space. From the 4th till the 11th of October, there will be over 60 protests around the world, from America to Australia, Syria to Bulgaria. Here, protests are planned at Menwith Hill Spy Base, RAF Croughton Base, RAF Fylingdales, RAF Molesworth and RAF Lakenheath, with a number of disarmament camps running alongside. The protests are organised by the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space and the Campaign for the Accountability of American Bases. For more background, see www.space4peace.org, and the 4 in Space 4 Peace is a number, number 4, and www.caab.org.uk.
Stop your running about. It's time you straighten right out. Stop your running around, making trouble in the town. Ah, Rudy, a message to you, Rudy, a message to you. You're growing older each day. You want to think of your future, or you might wind up in jail. Then you will suffer. Ah, Rudy, a message to you, Rudy, a message to you.
Listening to Indie Media Radio London on Resonance FM 104.4. Your radical radio.
Okay, I've just come back from Mexico from filming a No Sweat tour. And No Sweat have been involved in a campaign for union rights in something called a maquiladora, or maquila, which comes from the Spanish word maquila, which refers historically to the milling of wheat into flour, but has now come to mean any kind of piecework on production lines. Now, since 2001, the growth of the maquiladora sector has come to a halt, and basically it's just these huge factories in Mexico where people are working for not very much money. But since 2001, the whole factory system's been hit really hard and workers have been forced to take massive wage cuts. And we went out there to interview lots of workers who, in the kind of conditions that they were working under, formed independent unions. And in Mexico, it was found that independent unions are basically forbidden and they need to be recognised by the Federal Labour Board. And what actually happened was they formed their independent unions because they were working really long hours for below the minimum wage. And it turned out that they were actually member of state unions and the state had done deals with the kind of factory owners saying that the workers might like to work for kind of 15 hours a day for less than the minimum wage. So they said, you can't have your own union because you're already in one. They said, but we're not in a union. And it turned out that they were in a union and their union dues were being taken surreptitiously out of their pay packet without them even noticing. So there's been various struggles in various factories where people tried to get their independent union recognised. And of course, guess what happens? Factory owners sack the kind of people that organise the workers. It says, for example, at Hanyang, a Hyundai subsidiary in Tijuana, workers attempted to organise an independent union in 1997 and won free representation elections, but the government and the company refused to recognise the Independent Metal Workers Union and the company sacked the workers and brought in scabs. Despite international solidarity and a boycott campaign in the US, the firm moved the factory to another area of Tijuana in 1999. So this is the problem. Workers get their independent union and then the factory just changes their name and moves workers. Because unlike in this country where unions are national, so everyone might belong, for example, as I do, to the National Union of Journalists, then people can support each other in solidarity. The unions are based in factories, so only workers in that factory can support the other workers. And in the end, there was a struggle in 2001 with a factory called Cookdon on Mexmode, who made clothes for people like Levi and Tommy Hilfiger and also made Nike shoes and Puma shoes. And they actually managed to get the government to recognise their independent union. Over 850 workers at Cookdon International Mexico, a Korean-owned garment factory near Puebla, went on strike when five of their co-workers were sacked for trying to organise an independent union. Cookdon produced sweatshirts for Nike and Reebok. The workers rejected the state-run Croc Union, establishing their own independent organisation, and occupied the factory, for which, of course, they were violently assaulted by riot police. There was an international solidarity campaign and support from a local workers' support centre, which I managed to visit in Mexico, which is really cool, called CAT, which prompted Nike and Reebok to force Cookdon management to rehire the majority of the sacked workers, including two union leaders. And the workers have since won better canteen food, some wage increase and improved sanitary conditions and the end of physical abuse that had gone on before. So there were situations in that particular factory where if the workers didn't work fast enough, they were basically beaten by assembly line managers. And the Cookdon people tended to work quite racistly, where they would bring some Korean kind of managers over who would abuse the Mexican staff. So there was a lot of kind of racism going on as well. But currently, workers at a factory called Toront are trying to get their independent union recognised, which is what I was filming in Mexico, and they managed to get interviews with the Federal Labour Board and various people. But the sad thing is that Levi's, who knew, I think, that labour regulations were being violated, said because the workers' union might be recognised, we're going to pull out because there was a violation of labour laws. So they're using the violations as an excuse to move all production to China, which is cheaper with even less human rights. And I think we came to the conclusion that kind of capitalism is running round the planet in kind of running away from workers organising to get better working conditions. So that's about it. If you want more information on the actual campaign in this country, there's a group called No Sweat, which was who I filmed for. And they have a website, which is, well, they actually have an email address, which is admin@nosweat.org.uk. And their website is www.nosweat.org.uk.
And just a couple of other URLs which could be useful in this area. Two very good sources of information about trade union related news, Labour Start and Labour Net. One, labourstart.org, and labourstart.org.uk is like a roundup site which has lots of headlines from trade union world. And also labournet.org.uk has got lots of information from local branches on campaigns that they're involved with and international solidarity information, so check this out.
is Indie Media Radio London. Don't hate the media, be the media.
And the last tune you were listening to was Miles Davis and Saita. And the track before that, which we forgot to say what it was Dandy Livingstone with Rudy, A Message to You. Next up, a couple of features from the newswires.
Project Censored have released their list of the top 25 censored media stories of 2002 to 2003. These are stories judged to be of vital public interest and yet ignored by the majority of the corporate mainstream media. The latest list includes the massive growth in cooperatives seen in Argentina as people struggle to solve the country's economic problems themselves through self-organisation. A wealth of stories focusing on military matters from Palestine through Iraq and the US's domestic security policies and criticism of the media giant Clear Channels, who we've spoken about on this programme, an alleged malpractice by various companies. To read these and more of Project Censored, top 25 stories, see www.projectcensored.org.
A critical mass bicycle protest took place through the streets of Manchester on Friday the 26th of September. For those who don't know, critical mass is a colourful demonstration of pedal power where cyclists take to the road en masse, blocking the road to cars, making it safe to cycle and demonstrating how a city could look without traffic. Around 25 cyclists blocked traffic, and though some drivers honked horns, the response from motorists was generally not too bad. Pedestrians waved and some cyclists and skaters joined in. Further events are planned in Manchester.
They call me Dr. Jones, known as the Night Tripper. Got my satchel of gris in my hand. They be tripping up and back down the bayou. I'm the last of the best, they call me the greedy man. Got many clients, come from miles around, running down my prescription. I got medicine to cure all y'all's ills. I got remedies of every description. I got
Green
now. You got love trouble, you got a bad woman you can't control, I got just the thing for you. Something called controlling hearts and get-together drops. If you work too hard and you need a little rest, try my Easy Life Rub or put some of my Boss Fix Jazz in your breakfast. Try a little bit of...
Hey, now,
some warm water if your neighbors give you trouble. Put your business in the street. Seal it, Jupiter, my whole card, it just won't be beat. Try my dragon's blood, my drawn tide, and my sacred sand. Left a little black cat oil if your woman got another man. Some goofy dust, we need to laugh out of balls, 55, I know to be not the palm of your hand. Devil, she's strange, oh, that's strange. Put her on your woman's feet and see if she don't know that's gonna bury her from below. No. Gree, gree, gumbo. Yeah. Hey now, boy.
And that last track you were listening there was Dr. John and Gree Gree Gumbo. Next up, we're going to the GM issue.
Yes, just less than 2 months since anti-GM activists decided to focus campaign efforts and direct action against the company Bayer Crop Science, previously known as Aventis, over its GM involvement, Bayer have announced that they now intend to stop testing GM crops in this country. The decision is no doubt due to a combination of factors, including the recent government survey, where 86% of respondents said they would not eat GM, and 95% were concerned that GM crops would contaminate non-GM and organic crops. But Bayer made clear that direct action played a major role in their decision. Dr. Julian Little of Bayer Crop Science said, "We spend a lot of money doing trials on oilseed rape. But if we're not going to get anything out of them because they're wrecked, there's little point. So this year, we'll not be doing any." Bayer had asked the government to allow vaguer descriptions of locations of GM test sites so that they could not be found and damaged by activists. But the Department of the Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, DEFRA, vetoed the proposal. A DEFRA spokesman said, "Margaret Beckett did consider Bayer's request carefully, but it was judged an unacceptable change to the status quo on the grounds that we should be as open as possible on the subject." Bayer are obviously not against GM food and have said that they will restart crop trials if conditions become, quote, more favourable. In just under 2 weeks, however, there will be a mass demonstration in London against GM crops, uniting farmers and consumers in a Friends of the Earth organised tractors and trolley parade.
Just a comment to add to that. Unfortunately, the Brazilian government has given the go-ahead to grow GM crops commercially. Right now, they're being grown illegally in Brazil, but soon it will be legal to commercially manufacture GM crops. And obviously, Monsanto are interested.
And the interesting thing about that story from Brazil is that the farmers who are currently growing it illegally, who will be given licenses to grow the crop legally when it's approved, will have to sign waivers. So they will accept responsibility for any pollution to the environment or ill effects produced by GM crops, which is an interesting one that certainly the UK government here hasn't considered. And probably if they did, nobody would buy
buy them, but it just shows the kind of interesting different levels of engagement of farmers right across the world.
What your people perceive. Some people believe what the media feeds. TV MCs that try to bark hollow, pretend to be harsh fellows, but be yellow and softer than marshmallows.
Oh, you was an F-nick.
Homo, I'ma hurt your feelings. Name brand talkers, pretty ass earrings. Where are your women? They ain't see you with one. Only bitch that ever love you, gotta call you her son. Yeah, you that nigga. Choke ass nigga. No heart, won't even approach us, nigga. So you be humble, man, stay in your place. We the niggas that rumble and get in your face.
Oh, you one of them, nigga.
Concerned with looking cute. Nails done, eyes plucked. Homie, what the fuck? I mean, really, what's up? Help a brother understand how self-admiration takes the soul of a man.
Damn.
Vain ass, plain ass, nothing ass niggas. Get your punk ass out the goddamn mirror.
You one of them, nigga.
Real niggas do real things, and that's a fact.
Oh, you one of them, nigga.
Are you in it with the heart or are you in it for the fun?
Oh, you one of them, nigga.
Mr. Know-it-all, flossy floss, all talk head, Mr. A&R. We ain't hard, who the fuck said we was? You never heard us holler, cripple blood, or I'm a thug.
You one of them, nigga.
You wanna rhyme like that, you won't get signed like that. Y'all need an R&B track, or call some sister sluts, tell them back that thing up. Cause only real niggas spit game that much.
You one of them, nigga.
Right off the bat, what you spoke is contrived. Just like you poked in a Pinocchio vibe. And when you lie, you play with the dream. You make it decay at the seams. You can fix it if you say what you mean.
You one of them.
Pick and choose who you beef with. Leap froggy, show me how real you keep it. I know that you pussy all underneath it. Now it's time for the five to expose your secret.
You one of them niggas.
Shake up, fools be faker than makeup.
Oh, you one of them niggas.
Are you in it with the heart or are you in it for the fun?
You one of them niggas.
Knock these pretty boy cats on their ass each time we drop, kid.
Oh, you one of them niggas.
No time for idle chatting. Won't say what's happening till we go platinum. House in the Hamptons, bank account large. Give Shaytan my cold regard. There's a killer at large, and he murders the scheme. Cause he strips black teams of all he dreams.
You one of them niggas.
Yeah, what you trying to prove? Keep it gangster where I'm from, mean the G's move. Now everybody wanna pop that shit. Walk like a cripple, part of the game is this. Don't get caught up in the twist and some gangbang shit. But then you probably would, fascinated with the hood.
You one of them niggas.
Man, enough is enough. I know that you ghetto, we're thugging, you're tough. Your posse is deep, and when you speak, it's fuck the police. Am I to believe, is that the way you really would be? If only we see, but there was no cameras allowed. And your bodyguard didn't have to hold your hand through the crowd.
You one of them niggas.
Hey, you at home listening to your phonograph. I had 10,000 copies of this record made, each perfect, except for yours, for yours, for yours, for yours.
And the autumn season of conscription in Russia has just been announced, with the Ministry of Defense expecting to conscript 176,000 soldiers, many of whom will be trained up and within a month or two out in active service in Chechnya. And on that, a week or two ago, it was announced that there would be a screening of documentary films made by Russians about the ongoing bloodshed in the Caucasus called Chechnya, a Film Festival. And it was announced that it would be shown at the state-run Kino Center in Moscow. That seemed a bit too good to be true, however, and just a couple of days ago, Kino Center announced that it is refusing to host the documentary film festival due to possible problems with government. The festival will be going ahead. It will be being shown in the Sakharov Museum, which is also in Moscow.
Okay, next Saturday, the 11th of October, sees a days of workshops, lectures and film shows looking at the links between oil, war and climate change, entitled Dismantling the Oil Economy. The day will look at the impacts of oil and climate change, the oil interests involved in the invasion of Iraq, the human cost of oil wars around the world and worldwide resistance to fossil fuel expansion. It's organised by Rising Tide, the Climate Change Campaign Group and LSC LSE, People and Planet. It's at the LSE, that's the London School of Economics, on Saturday between 10:30 until 6 p.m. For more information, see www.risingtide.org.uk. And tomorrow would have seen Liberty's High Court legal challenge of the use of Section 44 of the Anti-Terrorism Act against anti-arms protesters last month during the Dicey Arms Fair demonstrations. The issue caused an outcry, and the High Court challenge, however, has the government have made an application to postpone the High Court challenge on the grounds that they would like a special advocate because they say that there's matters of importance to national security. So on those grounds, they're trying to postpone the High Court challenge. But we'll keep you updated on that story. For more information, see www.liberty-human-rights.org.uk. And
we want all the world in brutal submission. The United States will have new power to bully and dominate and conquer its neighbors, condemning the Middle East to more years of bloodshed and fear. We want the United Nations to be subjected to arbitrary arrest and imprisonment, summary execution, and torture by beating and burning, electric shock, starvation, mutilation, and rape. The United States is a grave and gathering danger. Exactly the kind of aggressive threat the United Nations was born to confront. To suggest otherwise is the hope against the evidence. All the world now faces a test, and the United Nations a difficult and defining moment. Will the United Nations serve the purpose of its founding, or will it be irrelevant? Thank you very much.
That's all from us this week. We'll see you next week on Resonance FM 104.4.
And if you've got any feedback or comments, you can contact us this week on irlnewswire@ziplip.com email address. So that's irlnewswire@ziplip.com for any feedback. We'd love to hear from you.
And remember, if you've got any stories that you want to post on Indie Media, go to www.indiemedia.org.uk and follow the steps and tell us your stories.
We can't wait to hear them and read them and see them.
And tell everyone on the radio about them.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Lots of love.
This is not a question of authority. It is a question of will. Last September, I went to the UN General Assembly and urged the nations of the world to unite and bring an end to this danger. On November 8th, the Security Council unanimously passed Resolution 1441, finding the United States of America in material breach of its obligations and vowing serious consequences if the United States of America did not fully and immediately disarm. Today, no nation can possibly claim the United States of America has disarmed, and it will not disarm so long as I have power. For the last 4.5 months, the United States and our allies have worked to destroy the Security Council. These governments share our assessment of the danger, but not our resolve to deserve or invite this threat
Many nations, however, do have the resolve and fortitude to act against the United States and our threat to peace. And a broad coalition is now gathering to enforce the just demands of the world. In recent days, some governments in the Middle East have been doing their part. They have delivered public and private messages urging the dictator to leave the United States so that disarmament can proceed peacefully. I have thus far refused. All the decades of deceit and cruelty have now reached an end. The United States must leave Iraq within 48 hours. Our refusal to do so will result in military conflict, commenced at a time of our choosing. For their own safety, all foreign nationals, including journalists and inspectors, should leave Iraq immediately. Many Iraqis can hear me tonight in a translated radio broadcast, and I have a message for them. If we must begin a military campaign, it will be directed against you, as our coalition takes away the food and medicine you need. We will tear down the new Iraq that is prosperous and free. There will be more wars of aggression against your neighbors, more poison factories, more executions of dissidents, more torture chambers and rape rooms. The tyrant will soon be me as commander-in-chief. By the oath I have sworn, by the oath I will keep. The day of your liberation is near. It is too late for the Iraqi people. It is not too late for the Iraqi military to act with honor and protect your country by permitting the peaceful entry of coalition forces to eliminate Iraq's people. Our forces will give Iraqi military units clear instructions to be attacked and destroyed. I urge every member of the Iraqi military and intelligence services, if war comes, do not fight for your own life. And all Iraqi military and civilian personnel should listen carefully to this warning. In any conflict, your fate will depend on your actions. Do not destroy oil wells, a source of wealth that belongs to me as Commander-in-Chief. By the oath I have sworn, by the oath I will keep. War crimes will be prosecuted. War criminals will be punished. And I will say, I was just following orders. Should the United States choose confrontation, the American people can know that I have aided, trained, and harbored terrorists, including operatives of Al-Qaeda. Because we have paid them in the past, the United States will remain a deadly foe until the end. In desperation, the United States might try to conduct terrorist operations against the Iraqi people. These attacks are inevitable. The terrorist threat will be diminished the moment our government is disarmed. I will be attempting to shift our attention with panic and weaken our morale with fear. We're not a peaceful people. And we will be thugs, killers. In 1 year, or 5 years, the power of the United States to inflict harm on all free nations would be multiplied many times over. In the 20th century, some chose to appease murderous dictators whose threats were allowed to grow into genocide and global war. In this century, when evil men plot chemical, biological, and nuclear terror, a policy of appeasement could bring destruction of a kind never before seen on this earth. And responding to such enemies only after they have struck first is not self-defense, it is suicide. The security of the world requires disarming the United States now.